1 Peter 5:5-7. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord.
As was already mentioned, our speaker this morning is Pastor George Gregory, who preaches at the Fifth Avenue building of the College Hill Church. And I'm surprised to see that actually they put a picture of him on the front of the bulletin this morning. George has many beautiful children. And apparently he cares for you, because it says it right there. He cares for you, George Gregory. So, but it is true about George that he is a caring and loving man. He loves his family, and I have been also a recipient of his deep and caring love as my minister. And so I pray that you would open your hearts today as he preaches God's words to you, and know that they come from the heart of a man who has a deep care for you to see you ministered to by the Word of God. Please come, George.
I went to the hospital to visit my friend who was about to go for heart surgery. As I sat next to his bed, tried to reassure him that things were going to be okay. The weeks leading up to this procedure, the doctors had told him that this was a routine surgery, had a 99% success rate, and there was nothing he needed to worry about. It's a good odds, right? 99%. And yet, in those weeks leading up to this surgery, he often would find himself waking up at night in fear, having a lot of anxiety about this surgery, and he kept going back to what the doctors had told him. 99% success rate. Everything's going to be okay. And he kept trying to comfort himself with that truth, and for a while it worked. Until he was laying in the hospital bed right before they wheeled him back to surgery. He found himself overwhelmed and overcome with fear and with doubt. He tried to reassure himself about what the doctors had told him, that he will be okay, but he, deep down inside, was faced with the reality that there is that still 1%. Something could still go wrong. And so he was filled with fear, filled with doubt that he might not wake up again. He may not see his wife and his children dying. He knew where he was going. But he didn't want to leave his wife and children behind. He didn't want to leave his congregation behind. This man was a pastor as well. So I sat next to him at the hospital bed, and I read to him this passage from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. And I explained to him the truth of this scripture, and I prayed for him because I wanted, right before he went back for his surgery, to have his mind reoriented to the God who is in control, to the God who cares for him. I wanted to take his mind, which he had set on things below, on the doctors and on human wisdom and human ability, and lift it up and set it on he who is above, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, that's what I want to do with you this morning. I want to reorient your thinking, because there are things that you're going to face in the rest of this year that will undoubtedly cause you to trust in yourself and in your own ability to make it through, to overcome the circumstances that you find yourselves in, or to trust in other people to help you, to sustain you, to carry you through your circumstances or whatever situation you may find yourself in. And I don't know what these situations are going to be. I don't know where you're going to find yourself. I hope that even though you don't know what the future holds, and I don't know what the future holds for you, that as you make your way throughout the rest of this year, you will keep before your eyes the Lord God Almighty. And you will see that He is an all-powerful God, but not just that, but that He is a God who cares for you. And so as you approach the trials and circumstances in your life, the events in your life, that I want you to continually submit yourselves to the Lord and cast your cares upon Him. That's really the main point that I want to communicate to you this morning. Submit yourself to the Lord and cast your cares upon Him. Peter tells us that we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, why would he tell us that we need to humble ourselves? Well, it seems to be the natural propensity of fallen human beings to exalt themselves, right? To think more highly of themselves than they ought. Time and time again, we see in scriptures individuals or nations thinking more highly of themselves than they ought, putting their trust in their own power, in their own ability, in their own greatness. And we see this portrayed very vividly for us in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. Even being warned by the prophet Daniel to humble himself and to submit himself to the Lord God Almighty, even after having his dreams interpreted by the prophet Daniel, and even after the king himself acknowledged the Lord God Almighty and that he was the one who raises up kings and casts them down, this man still walked out on his balcony. He looked at the great city, the great country that was his. And he said, look at this. Look at this wonderful country, this wonderful city, this wonderful nation which I have established and built with my own hands, with my strength. This man exalting himself. And it wasn't long, in fact, in that very moment, the Lord knocked him down. The Lord made him like a beast of the field who would crawl out in the grass and eat the grass of the field. The Lord humbled this man's pride to the ground. We might say, well, yes, of course, the Lord does this to prideful unbelievers, to those who don't ultimately acknowledge the Lord. He humbles them, fallen sinful men and unbelievers. He does this with them. And you may even know unbelievers in your life who have very prideful attitudes. They're always boasting in their abilities, boasting in themselves, exalting themselves in your midst and in your presence, want to make themselves look good, look big. Even God's people have this propensity as well. God warned the Israelites after they were settled in the land. He told them, I have fought these battles for you. I have given you this land of Canaan. You're going to go into it. You're going to build houses for yourselves. You're going to have fields. You're going to till the ground. You're going to become prosperous as a nation, live in these big homes, these big cities. And this is a good thing. But you're going to begin to think that it was by your might and by your power and by your ability that you have these things and were able to do these things. And you're going to forget that it was I who gave it to you. You're going to forget that I am the one who gives you the ability to work, gives you the ability to prosper and to grow and to have the homes and families that you do. And so this propensity of prideful thinking, of thinking more highly than ourselves than we ought, exists even among God's people. And this is something that we need to be cognizant of, because we're not who we think we are. We're not as strong as we think we are. We're not as smart, as intelligent as we think we are. And God has a way of humbling His people. We read earlier how Paul was given a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. And there have been circumstances in my life, very evident circumstances in my life, where God has brought me into situations and circumstances to change my way of thinking, to humble my mind so that I would look at Him and look at others in a different way, so I would look at myself in a different way. And maybe He's done that for you. Maybe He's brought you through things that you never thought you'd have to face in your life. And it reminded you of who you actually are before the Lord. He reminded you that you are just man, and He is God. The Lord has a way of humbling people. You see, Peter calls us to humble ourselves because he says in the verse prior to this that God resists the proud. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so to humble yourself before God is to submit yourself to Him, to acknowledge that He is in control and not you. You see, whenever we approach the things that we face in our lives, we want to trust in our own strength. We want to push through. We want to think that we're the ones who are doing it because it makes us feel good. That we have the power, that we have the ability, we have the smarts to get through this life on our own. We can work hard at our jobs and earn the boss's approval. We can study hard enough for the exam and pass it and get a good grade. Or we can deal with the circumstances or solve the relational problems in our lives. And sometimes we don't even think about God in any of it, do we? We think we can just do it ourselves. And even when we do bring God into it, it's usually in the context that if we can just do well enough, just do good enough, maybe we can earn God's favor and blessing in our circumstances. Maybe He'll help us out. Maybe He'll work with us. We forget that all of it comes from the Lord. It's His strength. It's His blessing. It's His wisdom. It's His grace that gets us through. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord because it's His doing. And it should be marvelous in our eyes. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, submit ourselves to Him, especially when we come into very hard circumstances in our lives. When trials come in, we need to focus on the Lord and not immediately trust our own strength. And I think this is why we experience such stress and anxiety and fears in our lives. Because when we enter into circumstances and trials and situations, our first inclination is to put them on our own shoulders. And to think we can carry it. And we try for a while. But deep down inside, we know we're fallible. We know we can't do it. So maybe we try to trust somebody else with our problems, with our issues, with the things that we're facing. But we also know that there's still that 1%. Even if they can assure us that things will go really well, trust the doctors, trust our friends, trust whomever. We know they're fallible too. Something can go wrong. We can begin to worry. We begin to have concern, anxiety, and stress because we know we can fail. We know others can fail. We know men can fail. And so we need to submit ourselves to the Lord God Almighty, who is sovereign and in control, who never fails, who always does what is right, and who always does what is good. We submit ourselves to the Lord and we cast all of our anxieties upon Him, as Peter says in verse 7. You see, the cares and concerns that we have in this life, we cast them upon the Lord. We don't place them on our shoulders or keep them to ourselves, but we give them to, we cast them upon the Lord God Almighty. And so when problems come into your life, it's not simply good enough to say, well, you know, I can't bear them myself, so I'm just not going to think about them and hope they'll go away, and so I won't be bothered by it. How's that work for you? It keeps you up at night, doesn't it? Your problems still nag away at you. They still gnaw away at your heart and your soul. You can't really make them go away, can you? But what does Peter tell us to do? We take them and we give them to the Lord who can handle them. And so how do we cast our cares upon the Lord? What do we do with the fears and the stresses and the anxieties that we have? Well, there are two things that we can do. There are certainly more than two things, but I only have time to give you two things this morning. And the first one is that we take that fear, we take that concern and that anxiety, and we cast it upon or lay it upon the promise of God's Word. And so, for instance, think of something really big. Think of death, right? Probably, it will be the last thing you face in this life. A big, issue, a big deal. Death is something that causes people fear all the time. What's going to happen to me after I die? What do I do? They're afraid of dying. So what do you do with this? You acknowledge the reality that, yes, I'm going to die. And you take that fear and you place it upon the promise of God's Word. Jesus says in John chapter 6, all those that the Father has given to me, I will lose nothing, and I will raise them up on the last day. So do you fear death? Well, you take that fear and you place it on the promise of God's Word, and you see that God's Word can support you. It can sustain you. God Himself can sustain you. And do you fear that God will not accept you? Do you fear that your sin will keep you far from the Lord? What do you do with that fear? You take it and place it on Psalm 103, which says that God has separated from you your sin as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. You take your fear and lay it upon God's Word. If you think you'll never overcome the sin and temptation in your life, you'll always be defeated by it, that you'll ultimately be overcome by it. But what do? You take it to the promise of God's Word. You go to Philippians, and you read that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Or you're about to graduate, and you haven't been able to line up a job yet. You don't know how you're going to provide for yourself. You don't know how you're going to provide for your needs, how you're going to care for you. Maybe you've just recently got engaged and you're going to graduate and you need a career, you need some way to provide for your family, but you're not seeing any prospects. What do? Well, you turn to Matthew. You turn to the Sermon on the Mount. You read Jesus' words about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and how He says, you are so much more valuable than they are. And you see that He will care for you. He will provide everything you need. You take your fears and your concerns, you go to the Word of God, and you cast them upon the Lord and upon His promises. This is one of the ways you can cast your concerns upon Him. The second thing you can do is simply express your care and concern to Him in prayer. You acknowledge that He is the one who can help you. Think about it. The very process of going to the Lord in prayer is acknowledging your humility and His ability, isn't it? That's why we go to the Lord on our knees, right? We're submitting ourselves to Him, pleading with the one who can do something for us. You're calling upon the name of the Lord to help you, and you're trusting in the Lord's goodness. You're trusting in His sovereignty and His care to provide for you. You may not be able to see how you can make it forward, how you're going to get through the next circumstance you're in, or how God could possibly change your situation or get you through the next several days or weeks or years. But you still give it into the Lord's hands. You trust Him with it because you know He knows better than you. He can see better than you can. He is God and you are not. You trust the promise of God's Word says that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And at the same time, He works all things together for good, for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. We turn to the Lord in prayer and trust Him to take care of our circumstances and situations and to carry us through. And Peter gives us good reason to trust this Lord, to trust this God. Good reason to submit ourselves to Him and cast our cares upon Him. He tells us about this God. He tells us two things about why we can have confidence and hope in submitting ourselves to Him and casting our cares upon Him. First is found in verse 6. Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You see, it would be a silly thing to submit yourself to someone or something who is weak, right? To a weak God, to an impotent God, to a fake God, to a false God. But that's not what Peter tells us to do. He tells us to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That phrase, the mighty hand of God, is a phrase that's used time and time and time again throughout the Old Testament to describe and refer to the way God has worked on behalf of His people. Peter wants to remind us about what God has done for his people in the past, to remember how he's worked on their behalf. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt. And he says to them, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, I have delivered you out of oppression in Egypt. Well, what was it that God did for his people? They were in bondage. They were enslaved in Egypt. And God, by his mighty hand, sent plagues upon the Egyptians. And if you look carefully and study closely, you find that every single one of those plagues was directed at one of the particular gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And every plague was God's mighty hand declaring that I am God, they are not. I am more powerful than living God. They are nothing before you. It is my mighty hand that is delivering you. And God brought them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them to a land of peace and prosperity. The mighty hand of God is the hand of an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God. And it's to this God we can submit ourselves to. It's to this God we humble ourselves, because this gives us great confidence to come to him, because he is a God who can do something about our concerns, can't he? He has the power to work in our lives. He's no little God. He's the God of heaven and earth, King of kings, Lord of lords. Once again, the one who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And so Peter tells us to submit ourselves to this God. But the second thing Peter tells us to do is found in verse 7. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He's not just some ultimately powerful God in the universe, but this almighty, powerful God cares for you. He's interested in you. He loves you. He's concerned for you. And friends, if you're not convinced of that, all you need do is think about the fact that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. God sent his own into this world for people like you and me. This Son that he has loved for all eternity, he sent him into this world to live and to suffer and to die and experience the wrath of God on behalf of people like you and me. He loves this world. He loves you and me. He cares for you. You can't tell me that he doesn't care for you. You can cast your cares upon this God because he does care for you. And for those of you who have come to this Lord, you've submitted yourself to him, you've embraced Jesus Christ, what else has he done? He has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in you, whom he calls the Comforter, because he cares for you. And this Jesus that you have come to, your Lord and your King, the one you submit to, where is he now? He is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, praying for you, because he cares for you. He knows how to care for you so well. Jesus became a man just like one of us, one who could sympathize with our weaknesses. This is one of the great reasons why God became man in Jesus Christ, not just to pay the penalty that we deserved and to live righteously for us, but he became a man so that he could sympathize with our weakness, so that he could express his care and concern in prayer on our behalf to his Heavenly Father for us. He cares for you. You can cast your cares upon him because he is all-powerful and because he cares for you. And one of the things that we always need to remember is that this is ultimately seen in God's salvation for us. Because before we were saved, we strived to be right with God. We were prideful before him. But what did we need to do? We needed to submit ourselves to him, to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves. There is nothing we can do. We humble ourselves to him that he might deliver us from death and sin and bondage to Satan. that he would deliver us. You see, humbling ourselves before the Lord God, Peter tells us in verse 6, results in the fact that we will be exalted. And that is what has happened in the Lord Jesus Christ. You humble yourself before the Lord, acknowledging your need of him to save you, and he delivers you and raises you up to be with him in glory. He exalts you. As things that we strive for under our own power, under our own strength, whether it be salvation, our own sanctification, overcoming sin in our lives, or having fulfilled and satisfied lives. We could strive for those things under our own strength and under our own power, but we would ultimately fail. We would ultimately fail. But Peter says, submit ourselves to God who can grant us those things that we're striving for. He will exalt you in due time, meaning he will bring about those things he wants to work in your life. Bringing about salvation, bringing about sanctification, bringing about a godly life lived in your heart for him. So all I want to do today is just encourage you that as you approach these coming days and weeks and the rest of the year, to submit yourself to the Lord. To cast your anxieties and your cares upon him as you look and face the difficulties that confront you. Because you really only have two options. You can trust in man. You can trust in yourself. You can trust in others, others' ability to help you. Or you can trust in the Lord God Almighty. The one who has a mighty hand. And the one who cares for you, trusting in his promises, praying to him based upon his word. As they wheeled my friend back to the operating room, he had tears in his eyes. Not because he was scared, not because he was filled with doubt. Despite my words, the Holy Spirit worked through his word and brought him a peace that surpassed all understanding, gave him rest for his soul, because he saw his mighty God in the Word, and he saw a God, his Lord, who cared for him, and no matter what happened, God was going to do what was right, and God was going to do what was good. And so friends, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, a love that is so undeserving. Lord, when we consider ourselves, we see weakness ultimately, we see failure, we see inability, and yet we masquerade like we're strong, like we're able, we're capable people. We try to get by, but deep down inside we know we fail. And so, oh God, we pray that you would, this morning, use your Holy Spirit, that he would turn our hearts and minds and fix them upon you and upon your word, convincing us that you do indeed love us because you sent your Son Jesus into this world, and convince us that you are mighty and powerful to save and mighty and powerful to sustain us in this life. We give you all the thanks and praise for who you are, what you have done, and what you will do in our lives. To you be the glory and honor forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
To respond in song, please stand.